We are the terrorists, though. We are going to crash at the boat.
There's got to be French terrorists out there, Quinn.
I guess.
I'm sure they exist.
Fair point. I think you have enough of whatever is going on already. You got a lot of energy, so you're good.
No, okay, I'll unveil the secret right now, Quinn. And you may want to take freaking notes on this because this is hella important, okay? This is the secret.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee.
There you go. Or Red Bull.
That's it.
Yeah.
Are you a Red Bull guy?
I used to be. There's a lot of it at my work, and so I've familiarized myself with a lot of the flavors. But I'm trying to minimize my caffeine. Doesn't serve me as well as other people, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I'm trying to minimize it too, but I think I may actually like blow up a building if I get off of caffeine, and so I don't want to do that.
Let's not do that.
What's the best movie you've ever saw in your life? And please do not say Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
Because I like you right now. Don't say that.
Well, I appreciate that. I like you too. I wasn't going to. I use Letterboxd, so I actually have a top four. In My Life is Hard, but let's try Iron Giant. I love the Iron Giants in my top four. It had a big impact on me as a kid. It holds up super well. So let's go Iron Giant.
Okay. So is that, because it sounds like you're weighing in like the impact as a kid. Is that
well,
like
it's all kind of it. It holds up. I watched it again recently. It's a really good movie. It's good for kids, good for adults. It's like a Pixar movie. It's like a proper film that happens to be animated, that has depth, that has subtext. It works on a lot of levels. It's not too preachy or messagey. It talks about like what it means to be a person and to be a kid and to grow up and to have friends and to feel alienated and growing up in a small town. It's also like a period piece. It was written and released in like the 90s, but it's set in the 50s, I want to say. And also it doesn't lean too heavily into like the stereotypes of like, oh, you know, the 50s were like I Love Lucy and all. It's like more real. It feels like more like authentic to the period. So but it's a really good movie. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. That's one thing I can say about all my top four are great movies. I recommend them highly. Check my Letterbox. I'm not like trying to pimp my Letterbox of all the things I'm trying to pimp today, but you asked me, so I would say Iron Giant.
Hey, pimp away. Listen, in the way, just pimp slap me out the way, dude. But okay, this is a good point too, because one thing that Iron Giant has and other stuff like maybe WALL-E and stuff, it's hard to make a damn good movie that is good for all age groups. And I'm talking like 12 to 70. Like that, you have to give some credit for that. I think even like really, really great movies, like people would say stuff like Titanic. It's like, do you really want your 12-year-old seeing Titanic and then beautiful redhead titties? I don't think so. Like that's not appropriate. And plus, like Jack dies at the end. Like I feel like Titanic is a bad influence now. If you were in Jack's situation, you're in the water, right? You met this beautiful girl. What you doing, bro? Are you taking the bullet? What's your game plan?
So there's so many strong feelings about that scene in particular. I couldn't care less. No offense to those who feel strongly. I mean, I've never had a relationship like that, so I don't know. I wouldn't know until I know. But I suppose if you really do love someone that much, so much more than yourself, and you kind of have to sacrifice yourself, and they've done the research, they did the science. They couldn't have survived on the plank. I know a lot of people. They could have survived. No, they couldn't have. They couldn't have survived. It wasn't a matter of like could they fit. It was a matter of like could they have both made it to shore? Could they both been rescued? They wouldn't have been able to survive. They would have sunk, or someone would have died. So if it has to be me or her, and I love her that much, I guess it has to be her. The same way, like she would say, like, you know, if it has to be me or him, it has to be him. And it's just like whoever can trick the other person into looking the other way while they sacrifice themselves.
Yeah, I think we shaped this movie completely wrong. I think young men should watch this movie, and it is the perils of falling too fast for a beautiful woman. Look what happened to him. Yo, it was a doggone cruise. What? How long was it? How long they knew each other? 4 days max? Like, I don't care if you made love in the old 1950s car. That's romantic. That's cool. But, like, we need to teach young men, Quinn. We need to teach young men, damn it. Don't fall for that. You push her ass off of the door and tell her, be like, hey, you got this big old dress on. Yo, I got, like, this little bitty thin shirt. You go over there, or at least we could take turns. That's the other thing. It should be like the title.
Take
the
turns
subtitle.
on the plank of wood. How does that work?
Yes. No, the subtitle should be, "A woman's manipulation tactics can never be underestimated."
All right. I mean, that's one take. That's a take.
Am I off base, dude? Put me in place. Pimp slap me.
I just think that people make way too big a deal of that scene in that movie in particular. I get that it was a big impact on people, but I'm just not pressed about it. Like, there are things I get pressed about, but that is just not on, that is like so far down the list. I get what you're saying about the, like, I guess if you want to take it into a broader span of like women and children first, I could definitely see an argument to like push back on that a little bit. Children first makes sense because they're literally younger. They have a lot of potential, blah, blah, blah. The women first, it made sense more from a kind of a chivalrous, olden days kind of thing. It made sense from a, like, biological imperative. You know, you can replicate the tribe more easily with a group of women and, like, one or two guys versus, like, a group of guys and one or two women. I get all that. We've evolved. I think there's an argument to be made that, like, chivalry has its limits. Let's put it that way. And so if that's where we're going with this, I can see that. But as far as this, like, Jack and what's her name again? I don't even remember. But, you know, as far as like Leo and Kate, who, by the way, what's interesting to me about that movie, Leo looks so young, and he is. They both are. But like, he looks like comparatively younger than her. They're about the same age, but he looks so young in that movie. And she looks the same age. It's like they both have like not aged visually as much. Like, they've both held up really well, but it's like you look at her then and then you look at her now and it's like you're the same person. Like, you're like, it's like, you know, she was creeping on this young boy back but like, you know, they're both in their 20s, whereas now it's like you look at him, it's like, it's that little boy, and then you look at him, it's like, oh yeah, that's a grown man, because he's got the mustache and the beard and whatever else. He's gotten a little puffy, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's a movie. It's a period piece. Again, it's a movie made in the 90s, set in what, like the 30s? It is what it is.
Oh, okay, Quinn. No, let's take it to real life here. Okay, you're on a cruise, right? You're on a cruise a week from now, and that same damn iceberg hits you. Okay.
Okay.
And everyone's like, oh shit, we're going down, right? We're going down. Everyone's seen Titanic. No, so they know how the story ends. And you hear over the PA, we need all women and children to come and get on the life rafts. What are you doing? Yeah. Are you drop kicking these women and saying, fuck you?
So I don't want to say anything too incriminating. How many people, how many listeners do you have?
There's literally dozens of people listening to us. Literally about 17. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, boy.
Dude, we need the truth, Quinn. This isn't Joe Rogan, bro.
We want the truth. All right, counselor. I don't want to say anything too incriminating, but I've often said that I'm an honest person more than a nice person. So, like, going back to what I was saying about, you know, the whole chivalry is underrated or overrated thing, I would probably, okay, let all the kids do their thing. But if I could slide in somewhere, you know, around, like, in the middle of some of the women, I might do that. I'm not going to lie. Just because at the end of the day, we need some men. You know, if this is a disaster and we gotta, you know, again, back in like the 30s or whatever, we gotta get ready for the next war, repopulate the species, you gotta have some dudes. So I'll take the bullet, and metaphorically speaking, I'll be one of the survivors. You know, I'll live with the guilt, and I'll do that.
Live You'll spread your seed. What you're saying is, listen, I'll bang all these broads and repopulate the earth. I'll do it. Quinn, you are sure. Yeah, yo, yeah. There's not many men like you out there. Yo, I'll just be honest. I'm like, okay. So like, here's my math equation that's going on in my head, right?
I just did the research. Sorry. It was actually like the 1910s. It was like 20 years earlier. It was like, whoa, it was before World War I. Like, oh my God. But anyway, go on.
Sorry. Yeah. This is actually a good point, right? Because back then, all the men, listen, if you didn't die in war, you're working in a chemical plant and it's like, oh no, why do I have 4 eyes and 7 toes at the age of 22? But okay, so I'm on the boat, right? And I'm having a good time. I'm probably drunk. I'm not drunk right now, but I'd probably be drunk on this boat. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, a lot of party.
Coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of coffee in the morning. You're having a good time. Have a little something in the evening.
Mimosa, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we're in a cold place, and we hit an iceberg. And I'm like, oh shit, I know exactly how this ends. And like, we need all the women and children to come to the lifeboat. I'm gonna say, okay, women, you all get out the way, because bottom line is, if we fight, I'm going to win. So fuck you. I'm getting on this damn boat. Okay? If we fight, I'm going to. Now, I can't beat all of them at once. That's true. Mm-hmm. And there's probably like at least 5 women on there who would kick my ass. Absolutely. They can go in front of me. That's it. Okay, let's just make it fair. Mm. It's a fighting competition. Like a quick, like 2-minute round. You know what I'm saying? Like me and you, Quinn, 2 minutes. Whoever wins gets on the boat first.
Now, ironically, that I could get behind. I'm not a huge fan of violence, but if it's, you know, me fighting for my right to survive against other men, ideally, you know, fair fight and all that, then yeah, sure, I'll do that. But again, thankfully, we live in modern times. We don't have to deal with like what was the last like major boat disaster? I can't even remember, but it was like. Generally speaking, cruise ships are pretty safe. They're not as safe as like airplanes, but they're pretty safe.
That's what they said about the Titanic, bro. It's unsinkable. Keep believing that.
Well, you gotta have good drivers, as we've seen with recent news stories about boats. You need to have good driving, and you need to be very aware of your surroundings. Let's put it that way.
Yo, what is up with that, bro? Like, so I've seen it. Like, I think in the gym or something like that on news. And then, like, my homies were texting me. And they were like, look at the boat. It turned into it. Like, this is all set up. Like, they think this shit was, like, planned. That the boat intentionally turned and hit the bridge. Do you think that that's plausible?
I don't like conspiracy theories. I don't like, you know, hidden or arcane knowledge. Because that's usually where all that kind of stuff goes. Oh, it's a big da-da-da-da. What I would say is, I haven't watched it extensively, not, you know, with a microscope, yeah. But I've looked at the video, and it looks like whoever was driving the boat was not doing a good job. Let's start it that way. There's people who drive that boat, or, you know, drive those kinds of boats into that area every day, all the time. This apparently the first time anything has ever happened. Or certainly first time in a long time. Maybe they've been near misses, but not a direct hit. And it's not like people say it was head on. It wasn't head on. It was like on the side, like, you know, not enough time to turn. To turn those boats, fun fact, you know, doing a little research, to turn those boats, it takes a minute. It's like turning a train or stopping a train. To stop a train or a boat or any large vehicle, you have to have like minutes and minutes and like miles, basically miles of like preparation to actually like stop or turn or do anything like that. So by the time they realized that they done goofed, it was too late. Whatever. So I think it was intentional. I don't think so. I think it's like that old saying, never ascribe to malice what can just as easily be attributed to stupidity. So I bet you the person was, you know, incompetent, drunk, both, before I'd say that they were like a terrorist. But certainly there's a problem when this kind of thing can happen at all. Frankly, I think a lot of people also said the bridge itself should have been more reinforced. I feel really bad for the people who were driving because there were cars that were on the bridge when it happened. So like those people like just went into the ocean. If you're in a car going into the ocean, that's you're all. No way. That's really bad. So I feel bad for them. So I don't know, but hopefully we can learn some lessons and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yo,
but
if they're a terrorist, they're the worst terrorists in the history of the world. It's like, come on.
They've been worse. They've been worse.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yo, there actually has, man. You are so freaking smart. That actually has. But because it's like, okay, all right, listen. We are the terrorists, though. We are going to crash at the boat. There's got to be French terrorists out there, Quinn.
I guess.
They exist. Fair point. We've got to crash the boat into the bridge. It's like, I get it. We're going to do it at 2 a.m. in the morning when there's nobody on the bridge. It's like, that makes no fucking sense. I don't know at all, right? I'm not a boat guy. I don't fucking know. I think like the video that everyone is calling like suspicious is it looks like it's kind of floating, and then it turns almost directly to hit the pylon. But my first impression was if they would have kept going and not turned, they would have ran into the shore. That's what it looked like to me. I don't fucking know. Yes. Also heard that like they lost power and shit like that. And so and obviously, like, yo, being a boat captain, you got to be a smart dude. There's probably all types of protocols for this. Hey, whenever you lose power, do this. When you don't lose power, do that. Like, when do you reverse this type of stuff? So I don't know, but it just seems like every time something happens, there's some interesting tinfoil hat theories out there. Why do you think that these people emerge regardless of the disaster?
Some of them are, and I don't use this term lightly. I try not to use this term at all if I can avoid it. But some of them are like, I was going to say grifters. Let's try motivated actors. They're people who benefit from controversy. And so they'll just be like, you know, it's da 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 da, it's the globalists, it's this or that. And then they gin up attention, clicks, traffic to their, you know, blogs, podcasts, websites, whatever, YouTube channels. And so there's that. There's also just like a lot of, let's be honest, a lot of mental illness and a lot of like people who have a platform and are motivated to speak and for some reason have an audience, but they're not like really well, like healthy. Sometimes there's some overlap between those things. And so a particular public figure, some people would probably think of who's recently gotten some judgments against him and gotten Alex unbanned. Jones. Yeah. I was trying to be coy, but yes, that'd be one example. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, the extent to which he's sane but crafty versus crazy, ironically, it's like the crazier he is, the more sympathetic he is, because you can kind of like say, well, you know, he means well, but he doesn't always think things through, versus like the extent to which he knows what he's doing and is just amoral at best is pretty incriminating. And again, those judgments against him have kind of pointed to the latter, but regardless, people like that exist. And so people like that get audiences, and their audiences, again, who also tend to be not always the most mentally balanced themselves, they respond in kind. I've tried my best, to the extent that I even have a platform, and I try to, when I do speak on these things, I try to like be responsible. That's why like I gave a kind of diplomatic answer to start with this. I don't think most conspiracy theories are true or even logical or reasonable, but I will say there's always some room for skepticism and some room for investigation. And there are literally at least two that I can think of just off the top of my head, cases where the official narrative doesn't make sense. The official narrative does not entirely make sense in regard to the JFK assassination. Yep. The official narrative does not entirely make sense in regard to the I'd use air quotes here, which is already kind of iffy for me to do this, but the suicide of a certain New York financier.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Exactly. exactly. My subtlety is completely lost with you in the room. But yeah, so it's like those two are examples where it's like a conspiracy theory might have some validity. Now, it's not to say that like all the most crazy outlandish explanations for those two instances make sense. It's not to say, like, again, it's the globalist or, you know, it's the government. They it was an inside job. I'm just saying, like, it's a little sus. If the official narrative is a magic, that's the term they use, a magic bullet hit three people, is largely undamaged from contact, was recovered, blah, 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 and killed a man, and fired by not a terrible shot, but not like exactly the most well-trained guy ever in, forgetting his name.
Harvey Oswald?
There you go. Yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald. And all this other stuff. And then there's the weird stuff about his Oswald's assassination afterwards. This is like, I don't know, man. This is not all. There's some unanswered questions there. And then again, with Epstein, it's like, huh. So the cameras went out and he was placed in proximity with this really big, intimidating guy who seemed ready and raring to go to mess somebody up and da 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 da. I don't know, man. There's some unanswered questions. And so when you have stuff like that, it's like, yeah, there's some unanswered questions. But versus like, oh, this plane went down, or, you know, this plane disappeared in the Bermuda, you know, triangle, or, you know, out in over like some Arctic ridge somewhere. It's like, yeah, that happens. Planes go down. The wreckage is hard to find because it's a giant, like, frozen wasteland where ice covers things up, or things just get, you know, destroyed, blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, like, things fall into the sea, and the sea is really deep and big, and it's really hard to even just investigate things for like signs of life, let alone to find wreckage of ships and whatever the hell. Like, these aren't grand conspiracies. It's literally just the most likely answer doesn't sound as sexy as some people want it to be, and there's plausibility for there to be something deeper, when in reality it's more likely, more plausible, that the unsexy truth or the unsexy answer is the truth. So that's kind of my take on conspiracies. When things don't make sense, when things don't make sense, I ask more questions. When things are plausible enough as they are, I just kind of leave it alone.
Just like the ship, right? The ship is like very plausible. The power went out, like, you know, like you said, if this was a terrorist attack, like, it could be done better and stuff like that. I think the other missing piece is that I think a lot of institutions or things that, like, we used to trust, we used to look up to, like, we're kind of seeing their warts. Like, you know, for example, like, the United States government did do MK Ultra. Like, this is the craziest fucking thing ever. Yes. They tried to control your mind with LSD and hallucinogens. Like, this is fucking real. You know, like, the United States government did sell crack in Compton to fund a war across the fucking world. And guess what? You go to Compton today, it's still a hood. It's still all messed up. And the people who lived back then, they were like, hey, Compton used to be kind of nice, but then everybody was drugged out and now it's a shitty ass place. It's still shit. So whenever you see like these type of entities that we used to look up to, and it's like, hey, these are the people who are looking out for us, all of this. And it's like, whoa, there are some really fucked up things they did. Like, I think it's plausible to make that jump and say, well, what else fucked up they did, right? This is just the stuff we know about. And so it sucks because it just kind of breaks down our trust in everything. And then we look at the sky and we're like, oh, it's blue. Is it really blue? You know what I'm saying? We start questioning everything.
And
then become mentally ill.
It's tough. I would say there's also, especially like in, you know, my community, in the Black community, the Black American community, there's a lot of conspiratorial thinking, unfortunately. And I think also there's a lot
of unfortunately. First of all, could you trace it back? Could you trace it back? Why does it exist and why is it unfortunate?
Well, you kind of pointed to some things, right? Like, there have been legitimate conspiracy properly the definition. It's just literally like multiple people working in coordination in somewhat covert or surreptitious manner to achieve a goal. So like a conspiracy could be as simple as like, hey, we're going to have a surprise birthday party. That's a conspiracy versus like a criminal conspiracy. It's like, hey, we're going to assassinate this guy. You know, that's a conspiracy too. Or we're going to rob this place. So might rob a hotel on behalf of the president. But he didn't call that one out. There's all kinds of different conspiracies. And so the problem is that some of them are true, some of them are real. But then the problem becomes when you've been the victim of, or your community has been the victim of, like real conspiracies, then you start to see like boogeyman under every bed or behind every corner. And so I've talked to people because I've been living in urban environments pretty much my entire life.
What's an urban environment?
A city. I don't use that as code for black. I just mean like literally a city. A city usually with black people in it. Like yeah. I've lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in Atlanta. I've lived in, briefly in New York. I lived in Florida. I lived like all over the place. I went to cities and I went to a state. I've lived in like what was it? Not Pensacola. Jacksonville. I lived in Jacksonville. I've lived in Detroit. So I've lived in a lot of like kind of rough and tumble neighborhoods, and also happen to have a lot of black people in comparative to like places where there's literally none. So I have spoken to people in the community, and one of the things that comes up is there's this, sometimes it's called HOTEP, there's this sort of alternate perspective on life and society and culture that can come through urban black communities, where, again, city dwelling black communities, where they have a history or an idea of history and society that exists parallel to the official narrative, to the mainstream, quote unquote, the white, really, it's just like it's white and Asian and Jewish and, you know, white Latino or white Hispanic or a number of things, narrative of society. So, for example, they look at the Tuskegee experiments. They look at the, you know, MK Ultra. They look at the CIA and Compton and the drug trade, the cartels and all that. And they say, that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg going back to the tank. That's just, you know, that's the beginning. There's all this other stuff. And it's like, well, I don't think the firebombing, I forget what it was. But it was like there was this firebombing of this town back. I gotta look it up now. It's like they firebombed Black Wall Street and they took them down from the sky. But it's like that was literally closer to a riot or, you know, a police civil conflict than the way some people would talk about it. It's like the government came down and they were like trying to destroy our city for no reason. It's always for no reason. And like the thing, like you were saying, like, you know, Compton was great. Well, you know, there's probably a reason why they picked Compton as a place to sell. I don't know if that it was perfect beforehand. You know, like there's always these things. It's like, it's, you have to be willing to, in order to, I think, be fair and consistent and just logical, you have to be willing to call balls and strikes, even when they're not beneficial to your side or to, again, like an overarching narrative. It's like, I tell people sometimes, don't be so open to, or be more skeptical of self-flattering narratives. So like, oh, we were always victim. Oh, sorry. We was kings. That's a kind of a racist meme, but like we was kings, and then we came to this country, and we were put into chains and bondage and this and that, which is sort of true. Like not everybody was a king on the continent of Africa because it's a big place and there's a lot of different tribes and villages and cultures. But anyway, you know, we were doing fine in the continent of Africa, and they were put into slavery, brought here, blah blah blah, and then we started to we were freed, and we fled to the north, we started to rebuild our lives, and we were doing fine, and then the white man came and did this and that. And like, yes, to some extent, absolutely, there was racism, there was Jim Crow, there was a number of things, like Chris Rock, of all things, of all people, right? The comedian Chris Rock, who grew up during integration of the schools, could tell you like his experiences, because he went to an integrated school. He's like one of the only black people at his school when he was like 6 or 8 years old. And also his parents grew up during the Depression as black people. And like when the way you put it, hey, when white people are hungry, they're not just going straight to the dumpster. They're going to the people who can't fight back. So they're going, like, you got like angry white men just barging down, you know, breaking down our door and stealing our food. That happened. So yes, absolutely. But then it's like, okay, but on the flip side, why would, for example, the government, the CIA, whatever, target Compton, in addition to the fact that it was a predominantly or, you know, heavily black area? Well, maybe it's because they felt like they were a good target. Maybe it's because they thought they'd be more susceptible. And it's like, why would they be more susceptible? Maybe it's because certain proclivities, whatever. So you have to be willing to call balls and strikes and not just tell yourself this flattering story all the time. That's everybody. That's black people. That's white people. That's Asians. That's whatever. You know, Native Americans, you know, Indians. Yeah. Like they say, like, oh, we were all living in peace and harmony when one with nature. No, you were fighting. You were fighting each other. You were at war with each other. The same way, again, tribes in Africa. You're at war with each other all across this continent for decades, if not centuries, before any white man stepped foot on this land. You were going to drive the buffalo to extinction because you were hunting it so mercilessly. You were killing each other, enslaving each other, as because slavery exists outside of just chattel slavery with Africans and, you know, the United States. But you were doing all this stuff before any white man stepped foot. And a white man stepped foot, they made it worse. Yeah. I understand Christopher Columbus and all that, the pilgrims, Thanksgiving, I get it. I'm just saying we have to be willing to not always tell ourselves or believe the self-flattering narratives that always cast us as the good guys and always cast somebody else the bad guys. Because the flip side of that is that can lead you to, yeah, here we go. For example, this is kind of an extreme example, but for example, Nazi Germany, where, oh, it's those people, the Jews, it's those people, you know, who are the bad guys. Yeah, exactly right. It's those people who are the bad guys and we're the good guys. And whatever we do to them is justified, blah, 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 which taking it all the way back to, or all the way forward to now, it sounds like something that's going on in the Middle East and also something that's being sort of talked about stateside and in other countries. It's like, maybe it's not great to castigate other people as, you know, entire groups of people based on what they look like or their religion or whatever, or to always say, oh, I'm good, but they're bad. Maybe we should all be a lot more humble and a lot more self-critical, because the truth and the story of history is most people, when it was more common especially, would have owned slaves. You know, owning slaves was the equivalent of, this is going to sound crazy, but it's truth. Owning slaves was at a certain point in time the equivalent of owning a car. It was that common. So it's like, I would never own slaves. Do you own a car? Like, do you have money? Do you have capital? Do you have a decent job? Do you have decent, you know, station in the world, in life? You probably would own slaves. Just it's fine. But like, it's not fine like it's a good thing, but like, that's just a normal thing.
For most people,
sorry if I go on a big tirade. Sorry, please go.
No, it's tirade. Yeah, no. and for example, like, let's just say, like, let's just play that forward. Let's say 100 years from now, right, we're tearing down Barack Obama statue. Why? Because he's a piece of fucking shit. Why is he a piece of shit? Because he ate meat. I can't believe they used to eat meat back in the day. That was terrible. In the 20th century, they ate meat. They were so bad. They killed those cows. Those cows were real life and stuff like that. And so that's how like the
you
times
You
that
needle
changed.
Very well, by the way. Well done. I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but yeah.
Oh, calling Obama a piece of shit. No, because like that's what you know.
I get you.
Yeah,
I would say like, there are historical evils that we can understand in the context of history, but we can also say like we can call torture stories. We can call a spade, we can like just say it is what it is. So it's like call it for what it is. So it's like people talk about, you know, it's heritage, not hate. You know, hey, it's my flag, brother. It's my culture. It's like, well, I mean, your culture is founded on like basically being a traitor to your own country and also trying to own people. It's kind of fucked up. Excuse my French. It's kind of a messed up culture. Maybe you shouldn't be trying to like carry it forward or apologize for it or you know like tell people that they're assholes for degrading it because it's kind of messed up. So like when people talk about, oh, you're tearing down the statues, you're destroying history. Well, those statues are put up by people who wanted to kind of abuse history, and they were the descendants of people who wanted to abuse other people and the country at large. So you have to be willing to, at the flip side, just be honest. Again, going back to what I was saying, be honest with yourself and others, and just say like, all right, there's a dividing line. There are people who knew that slavery was wrong at the time. Now they were at times a minority. Like a statistical minority, they were not the majority until they were. But there were people who knew that slavery was wrong at the time. Abolitionists, proper abolitionists existed, as well as people who just believed in the Union, in the United States as a concept more than they believed in slavery. It's like the ultimate problem of the Civil War, if we could really be honest about it and just call a spade a spade. Using that phrase, I guess, was people who believed in their culture, which included slavery. You can say it included other things, fine, but included definitely slavery more than they believed in the Union. And I think that in itself is pretty messed up, regardless
of
the fact.
Does that exist today with something else?
I know it does. There are people who... It's not as bad. Thankfully, there's you know, oh, there's human trafficking, slavery never, slavery is, it doesn't, the slavery still exists. Yes, but like as a cultural like touchstone that people have arguments about, where people are like pro or con in public. No, like that's, human trafficking is pretty roundly disliked. Certainly in the West, people aren't standing up and shouting, "Hey, it's cool, man! You can just live and let live" about that one. But I would say we need a truth and reconciliation about like the Civil War, to the extent that there are people who don't want to acknowledge that it was fought over slavery. You could say and other things, but it was fought over slavery. When a presidential candidate is asked that question, like, what was the Civil War fought about? And she can't just say it was fought over slavery. Talking about Nikki Haley. That's a sign of the problem, that we can't even just be honest about like basic history that is over 100 years before she was even born, let alone like came to public prominence. And so things like, hey, did the person who's currently like running the country, is the person who's currently the president of the United States, did he win the election? Like stuff like that, where we were, certain groups were about to come to blows over the idea that someone else won the presidential election in 2020. Like we need to be able to speak honestly to ourselves and to each other about basic truths of reality. Like, where there is room to disagree, where reasonable minds can differ, like economic policy, environmental policy. Does Palestine deserve a state, right? Absolutely not.
I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Versus, does Israel just have a right to... Go ahead.
About, because I feel like you, mm-hmm. hearing you talk... My perception is you kind of feel like you're kind of in the minority here, and you're kind of like, why doesn't like everyone
minority? Like, what you don't say? No, okay. sorry.
No, in the way you think, in the way you think.
No, yeah, like, it's for
why,
sure.
Why doesn't everyone? It sounds like you sound very analytical. You appear to be very analytical. You appear to be the type of guy that's like, hey, I want to make a decision. Let's lay out all the facts, pros, cons. Let's think about it for 2 days and make a decision. This is awesome. I'm kind of like that too. I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. I'm a nerd. But what I've noticed with a lot of my black friends, my like poorer area people,
sure,
is they are way more compelled by stories and narratives than they are facts. In fact, facts will not change them at all. Like I've had these conversations and stuff about, you know, kind of crazy things such as the boat going in and stuff like that. Yeah. For example, I have a really good buddy and he watched this like video. He watched a sitcom, and in the sitcom, before the husband got a divorce, he transferred all his assets into his mom's name. And he's like, yeah, bitch, you're not getting nothing. Right. And so he texts me and he's like, bro, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm like, I don't think the law works like that, but you go ahead. Right. But it was just like, it was a compelling narrative to him, like everything. And so whenever you tell a person who's compelled by a story or a narrative or something that like, you're essentially talking to a brick wall. So how do you get through to these people, whether it be about civil war, slavery, conspiracy theories, all of this? Like how, and is that even up to you as being like the analytical person?
Sure, or should
you just say like, hey, go read a book? How do you fix that?
So unfortunately, and also it's funny, this is probably the most political that I've like been like anywhere. Like, no, like for real, like I've pivoted. So like, going back to like the start of the conversation, like what do you want to talk about? Or like, you know, what take over the conversation? Like, I would have been good. Ironically, I would have been better with like movie talk and like, you know, the arts, because like I'm trying to like get my sort of my name out there more in terms of that. You know, I'm a screenwriter. I'm an aspiring author. I haven't really, you know, gotten anything optioned yet, but like, I don't really do politics publicly anymore. I used to be very political. If people check my Twitter, like all the links will probably be in the show notes or whatever, you know, but it's Ed O'Quinn. It's pronounced Ed O'Quinn for those who don't know, E-D-O-K-W-I-N. And I just kind of fell into this. I was just talking about like current events and somehow just kind of backslid into politics, like writ large. I quickly started to realize that you can't reason with people. And I don't know if you're familiar with a streamer by the name of Asmongold, aka Zach, but he's on Twitch. And he's a little bit of a weirdo. Everybody's a weirdo on the internet, by the way. Everybody is like as a weirdo just by default. One of the things about people on the internet is just like, and this applies to me too, applies to all of us, applies to you, applies to everybody. It's like, we're all weirdos. And we're all sort of like guilty of being weirdos until like proven otherwise. And it's really hard. It's hard to, you know, prove and disprove a negative or whatever. So like, don't assume that anybody on the internet is normal. Don't assume that any streamer is normal. Don't assume that any like podcaster is normal. We're all weirdos. But that aside, he's also like, he lives kind of like a hoarder. He lives in a mess. But when you hear him talk and you hear him talk about like events and internet drama, he sounds pretty like smart and reasonable. I say all that preamble just to say like, I'm not putting him out there as like the guru, like the greatest, you know, sage wisdom, but he makes sense when he talks oftentimes. And he says that you can't reason someone out of an opinion that they didn't reason themselves into. Meaning, if someone believes something for irrational or emotional factors, they're not just going to be swayed by logic and arguments. And I just usually don't. Like, one of the reasons why I stopped talking about politics in general is because I just felt like I was hitting brick walls just trying to talk to people about basic stuff. Like, it could be Israel-Palestine, which is, like, a few of my friends, just a retarded thing in general. And, like, yes, I would say, broadly speaking, Palestine probably does deserve to have a state. I think Israel does too. Like, that's obvious. Like, a state that already exists should not cease to exist. And it's, like, insane to me sometimes when people talk about it. Like, oh, yeah, like, a state that already exists should just stop existing. America should just stop existing. Israel should just stop existing. China, Russia should just stop existing. No. Like, what you're talking about is, like, inherently toxic as fuck. You can't say, I mean, you can say whatever you want, you know, free of speech, whatever, but like, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say this if it's normal or defensible or moral. It's not. But what I would say is, if you're talking to someone and you feel like you have some cachet with them, you have some favor with them that you can curry and you can like try to have a reasonable conversation, like try and just talk to them as a person, talk to them as a friend. Don't lecture them. Don't, you know, try to like come at it from like, I know this and I'm going to download my knowledge into you and you're just going to be converted. Like, just like one of the things that a somewhat controversial public figure himself has said, one of his like 12 rules is, I believe it's like number 7, is assume the person you're talking to knows something you don't. That's how to have a good conversation. So it's like, if you talk to somebody, not from the perspective of like, I'm going to teach you, but like, you can tell me something, I can tell you something, we can have it back and forth. That's how we go good conversation. So it's like, if I was going to talk to somebody from the South, technically I'm in the South right now, in the secret, I'm trying to dox myself, but I'm in a secret location in the South currently. If I was trying to talk to somebody about like, frankly, when the rare times that this comes up, when people talk about like North or South or whatever, just say, hey man, it's 2024. Like the Civil War was a long time ago, long before either of us were born. Let's not. It's like, oh, you know, people ask me like, sometimes my accent, like, oh, you're not from here, man. Where are you from? You're from the North. It's like, bro, there's 4 directions. Firstly, there's East and West too. There's 4 directions. It's a big country, a country the size of a continent. And the Civil War is a long time ago. We're not doing this. But if I were to talk about the Civil War with somebody from here, I'd just be like, listen, man, I'm not saying that you can't be proud of your family and proud of like your local culture, whether that's, you know, Raleigh or Atlanta or any other like southern city or even a whole southern state. But you gotta let the like the Confederacy go. You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Not just because like it's unpopular, which it is, but also just because like in your hearts, like, you know, search your feelings. You know it to be true. In your heart, you were raised on this because like your parents told you it was cool or whatever, but you don't really believe it. It's like every successive generation of people is generally more understanding, generally. There are exceptions. Generally, more understanding, more tolerant, more whatever than their parents. And so more and more as time goes on, it's like the younger Southerners realize that like the South will rise again and all this other stuff is kind of BS. And so you just kind of lean into that. And then like if they ask me like, well, what do you feel about, you know, the war of Northern aggression? What's I sometimes jokingly call it that, you know, for the memes. But like, how do you feel about the Civil War? Like, do you think that the North did anything wrong? It's like, yeah, of course. It's a war. Like there were war crimes, domestic war crimes on both sides. It was a civil war. That's how that works. Nobody's hands are clean. But do I think like Abe Lincoln was a tyrant? Like, no, I think he was trying to preserve the Union. And if the South had given him like quarter, like significantly given him like options to preserve the Union that did not involve a bloody conflict where brother fought brother, metaphorically speaking, and sometimes literally, like, that would have happened, but they didn't give him a chance. And this is the thing I've talked to people about, like also like the aftermath, because like you look again, go look at the history. Do your own research is a kind of problematic term, but I would encourage people as whenever possible to like look at quality sources and try to do some research on their own, not motivated reasoning. Like, I'm going to look for the stuff that tells me that I'm right, but like, look for just like general encyclopedias and historical accounts from people who don't seem to have an agenda or have less of an agenda, whatever. One of the crucial things about that also is people say like, oh, you know, Reconstruction sucked and, you know, he wasn't going to do da da da. They killed him. They killed him, right? He was assassinated. He was assassinated by Southern sympathizers a week after the Civil War ended. So it's like they literally did not give him a chance. Like, you gotta give a man you gotta give him more than a week. It might have been a month, but like he's like, come on, man, like give him a chance. So like all this stuff happens, and just give people a chance. Just give the person you're talking to a chance to hear your side, give yourself a chance to hear their side, have some humility, and just remember that like we're all messed up people. We're all imperfect. We would have owned slaves. We would not have like been freedom fighters who, you know, tried to tear down our own country, quote unquote, to protect a cultural minority, because that's what it would have meant to like be against the Nazis in Nazi Germany. You would have to have been a revolutionary trying to fight your own country for a cultural minority that a bunch of people hated. You wouldn't do that, right? Like to put into context in America, it's like, would the average American go to bat, realistically, not even for Black people, because that'd be the easy example. No, would you go to bat for the natives? Like, would you go to bat for the natives? Like, would you go and like try to, you know, raise the capital over like the natives, who are doing, comparatively speaking, like not great, but they're doing better than they have been in the past. Like, would you do that? No, you wouldn't. So it's like, just get off it. You're all flawed, imperfect people. We try our best, but we have our limits. We would probably be like elbowing people to get on the lifeboats, even if we didn't deserve to. Like, so yeah, just be human. Just be a person. Just be honest. I tell people all the time, like, especially back in my more political days, like, preach what you practice. Seems like practice what you preach. Preach what you practice. Don't talk about all the great stuff that quote unquote you're doing or all, you know, your lofty ideals. Just talk about what you actually do. It's like, I actually donate to charity. I like not a lot, like, you know, little things here and there, clothing, some, you know, financial items, this and that. I'm also like just a broke, like formerly homeless guy myself. So like, it's because I'm like close to the community that I do it. I know a lot of like churches and shelters and programs. So it's like, it's just kind of in my DNA at this point, but I don't like go out there and say, you all should da 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 da. Like, cause like we're all, you know, imperfect. And I try to give people grace in that regard. But hey, I'll get off my soapbox.
There is no money in that. Oh my gosh. You're a great person, but a terrible business person.
There's no money in being honest. I've heard that before.
Don't you know you have to genuflect on freaking the internet if you want to make a dime? Regular people like us, we're broke. I've made like 12 cents on the internet. What would you say?
Ooh.
Like, what would you say if Hitler was right here?
Oh,
like you were in the same room as Hitler and you were talking. There was no threat of death. What would that conversation sound like?
So, fun fact, Hitler was not cokehead, but he was like addicted to drugs. His doctor, who was a quack, he was not actively poisoning him for like political or, you know, like altruistic reasons. If he wanted to kill Hitler, you know, through medicine, he could have done it easily. He was literally just like not a very good doctor. And he was like the equivalent of like, you know, some BS guru type that some people get around them sometimes, you know, rich people just like buy into when they shouldn't. I won't say he was like Gwyneth Paltrow, but he was like the kind of person that Gwyneth Paltrow would put money into, let's put it that way. That's who was like advising Hitler. And so he was like coked up half the time and like nights, like, I don't even think I could talk to somebody like that, because like, I don't do well conversing with people who are not in their right mind or who are like, you know, drunk.
Well, he's sober, hypothetically sober.
Okay. So I'm hypothetically talking to a sober Hitler, and we're just going to have a reasonable, like nonviolent communication. I mean, listen, man, what happened with the painting, man? Like, what, you were a decent artist. Like, no, like for real. Like just going back to the, you know, because I'm an artist. Like, I'm a writer. Like, you know, going to the arts. Like, you were a decent artist, man. Like, you have the potential to do other stuff. Like, politics, I get that you're like good at it in the sense that you've had success and what a, you don't want to like lead the country and like take over the world. That's not, come on. You don't want to be Napoleon. That's just like something your dad put in your head. You want to be loved and appreciated. You should go back to painting. You should go back to painting and you should like really make a go of that. Cause listen, man, cause this, you know, presumably like if we take it all the way back, like this would be what, the 1930s or 40s, like visual art was still pretty popular back then. You could be the next, I won't say the next Rembrandt, but you could be like, you could be
influential.
Yeah, it's because all the names of artists I know are like people. No, Picasso's too high because he's around back then. But like you could be like the best, one of the top 15 Austrian painters of the 20th century. You could do that. It's possible. It's possible. We just got to dial back a lot of this, you know, maniacal, you know, Napoleonic stuff, and just like let's go back to the art, man. That was your back. Because honestly, like a lot of people, not to be all like armchair psychologists, but or like that. You know, really cheesy, like cringe white lady talking to Putin. If I was your mother, but like a lot of, yeah, you know the vibes.
I think so. Yeah.
The funny thing is, like, I saw her. Like, she played like this like thotty, like femme fatale. You know, I mean, she's an actor. Like, people play roles. It's just like that subtext was all. It's not lost. I mean, it's just like, you're not necessarily the best vehicle for this message, even if this message wasn't cringe. You're not necessarily the best vehicle for it, just gonna be honest. But regardless, it's like I'm not gonna try and do that with him. But I'm just like, hey man, let's dial it back. You know, we can find a way forward that does not require the deaths of millions of people, including the Jews. Who, side note, like, just this is just by the by. I don't get to talk about this much, so I might as well talk about this if we're going to talk about politics.
Let's do it.
My dad was Jewish. He's passed, unfortunately. That's why I say was past tense. But like, I have a close connection to the Jewish people. Like, I tell people all the time, not online, but like in my personal life, like I'm biased about certain things in relation to like, say, Israel, Palestine, or to, you know, like the chosen people, the Jews and whatnot, because like I have a connection. I'm not a Jew, but I have like, I'm a philo-Semite. I love the Jews. I love the Jewish people, the Jewish culture. And so like, even if for the sake of argument, Hitler was, not also trying to take over the world and kill a bunch of people, like even if he kept everything in house, like that's still obviously really bad, and I would want to encourage him to not do that, even so. But the fact that he was also trying to take over the world just made it all the more. And by the way, Hirohito too, and Mussolini, you know, like they're also pretty fucked up people. Like, it's unfortunate that so much of history is defined by people who are just really like, ironically, the influencers of the previous, you know, centuries and decades. They're just really like famous and popular and charismatic, but they're also just really messed up people, and they're acting out their neuroses on society, in government, with the power of the military and this and that. It's probably some of that, you know, in America too. Definitely some of that. It's just like, we should all just be better people and try to rein ourselves in and rein each other in, and remember that like we're all just men and women and whatever else. And like, yeah, that's basically what I'd say. Just chill out, man. But chill, Hitler, you gotta chill out.
But
Adolf, you gotta chill.
It's not. No.
and fire your doctor. That guy's a fucking quack.
Yeah. But no. So that's the thing. It's like we're all good people, like in our own story. I think like I've heard like documentaries and stuff of like mafia hitmen, and they were like, yeah, I kind of knew what I was doing was fucked up. But if you talk to Hitler, like, wasn't his whole goal was like, listen, Germany's going the wrong direction. This is so fucked up. I can't believe what's going on, and I'm going to do something about it. Like, which is great. This is what we teach our young kids. Hey, you have something wrong?
Make Germany great again.
Yeah,
I don't think that, you know, Donald is Adolf. I don't think that
he may be. Cringe. He may be. I do.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I think that's a false comparison. But anyway,
it was fucked up when he didn't want to step down. But so wouldn't Hitler, like, that's the thing. So if I was sitting in a room with Hitler, I'm like, I have to appeal to this. Right. So I don't think your approach would be great. Just be a painter. He's like, I don't give a shit about painting. I give a shit about making Germany great again. So I would be like, look, Hitler, yo, first of all, everything you say, you're fucking right. You know what? We do need to make Germany is fucked, bro. We got to do something about it.
Okay. Sure.
You got to
ease them into it.
Come on. We're not being pedantic. Come on, let's do it. So, like, listen, Germany's fucked, bro. You're so right. And you know what? You have some damn good ideas, Hitler. But listen, yo, if you use violence for this, you're just as bad as these fuckers who you're trying to supplant. So we can't do that. Let's do this. We're going to spread love through your art. Listen, no, we're going to spread love. And we're going to, you know what? We're going to just give everybody a little bit of weed, a little bit of mushrooms. And then we're all going to be able to kind of get on the same page. Like, don't you know that the most diplomatic best leaders win the wars without firing a shot? That's what you're going to be, Hitler, damn it. You're going to fucking be that. You're going to go down in the history books. So let's do that. Listen, what we need is influence, not blood, bro. Let's do it. We'll do it together, bro. We'll do it. And then he'll schnagger. And then he'll try to give me some drugs. And I'll be like, okay, I guess. Like, could you imagine doing drugs? I would totally do drugs with Hitler.
The drug angle might be one way in. I don't think peace and love is going to get you there. Because the art thing might not get you there either. But like the drug thing is, it's like we both got some touches, like, you know, appeal to like his past with the arts, appeal to like his hobbies, his present with the drugs. But like, I don't think peace and love is going to get you there. This is a blood and soil type of guy. You know, you're not going to get there with blood. He's like, I'm blood and soil, man. What are you talking about? I love blood. Yeah, exactly. Have you seen, by the way, the AI reconstruction, like, you know, translation of his speeches? Like, it makes sense when you take it away from, like, you know, the angry German, you know, like you don't understand the language. It's like, oh, he's basically saying, you know, I fought for you. I'm with you. It's like, it does sound almost Trump-esque in a way, or like, you know, like other sort of populist leaders. Like, you know, now will you stand with me? Will you work with me? Will you ensure, you know, with us together? It's like, it makes sense. I can see that. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying I'm not pro-Hitler by any means. I can understand the appeal from an analytical perspective. But yeah, like, ultimately, the way to just get to, the way to hopefully reach people, regardless of whether or not it's the popular thing or the cool thing, the way to reach just like an individual or just have a conversation is just like talk to them as a person, be honest, listen, like actually listen to what they're saying. The biggest problem with most conversations is that for most people, they're not actually listening. They're not actually listening to what the other person's saying. They're waiting for their chance to talk. And so they're not engaging with what the other person's saying. And when that disconnect, sometimes that disconnect just goes under the radar, but when that disconnect becomes apparent to one side or both, then it's just like, oh, fuck this guy, fuck that guy, and then it's just over. If you can actually listen to each other and have a conversation, even if you don't agree, even if you don't come away agreeing, you can at least see like, okay, this person's not an asshole. And that's usually what happens with good conversations. Like, people don't necessarily just shake hands like, oh, we're brothers now. You know, it's like, okay, this person's not an asshole. They listened to what I had to say. Like, that's what hostage negotiators talk about. It's like, he actually listened. That's literally what happens. It's like they got the hostages back, and maybe they don't get the money, but like, he actually listened. So,
yeah, and it's a secret power. And by the way, fellas, if you're listening, you want more ladies, just fucking listen. Just listen to them. And then, like, just make one comment on something they said. Let me ask you a question that I think may suit you well because of how deep of a thinker you are. So I've noticed this phenomenon that goes on, and everybody has, whether it's been brought to mind or not. Whenever a black guy or black girl is unjustly killed by the cops, Rodney King, well, he wasn't killed, shit like that, you know,
police violence, use of force issues. I get what you mean.
This type of shit. Whenever this happens,
I'm going to even say, like, there's controversy, not even unjust, because I'm not trying to be like, they had it coming,
it just happened, right?
Yeah.
I'm not splitting hairs. Sure. But whenever it happens, the entire, like, black community feels, it's almost like whenever they watch the George Floyd thing, like, they hurt. Whenever they watch that, it's like they hurt. It's like their brother, even though they've never seen this person in the history of their life.
Yeah.
It seems like black folks are the only people to do that, to feel that hurt, to like embody that pain that someone who they don't even know, didn't even grow up in their hood, just so happened to have the same skin color. They feel that. Why are black people the only people that seem to do that?
Well, I would first say I don't think that's entirely true in a few different angles, but I would also say, like, to the extent, because I would say, firstly, black people are not a monolith, and also that there are other cultures that do that. But what can make it seem that way, what can make black people seem like a monolith, because the outsized voices want you to think that to some extent, the people who want you to think that we all think the same thing, and those are people who are in the community who are black, and the people who are outside the community who are not black, but who sort of benefit from that narrative. That's that part of it. But also, it's like, we are a minority, like black Americans specifically are a minority, like, duh, but like, we are, it's important to remember, like, we relate to each other as being, like, often one of the only persons who look like us in a given environment, right? Like, there are pockets of this country where we are more widely accessible, let's say, but then you go to, like, the middle of the country, you go to certain particularly cold places, like you go to New England or certain parts of the somewhat settled West, and it's like, oh, there's literally no other black people here.
Yes.
For reasons. And like, literally, that's not even just like racism. It literally is just like, it's too fucking cold. It's not cool. There's nothing to do. Like there's reasons. There's not necessarily like toxic as fuck reasons why black people just don't go to certain places. But so, like, I've commonly, even just in, like, again, major cities like LA and Detroit and whatever, sometimes been the only black guy in the room. And so when you have those experiences over time, then you go back to, like, the community, and you're with other black people, you relate to them on those levels. And then you see, like, these things. Like, I was swept up in the controversy. This is pre-George Floyd. This is, like, you know, after, like, Trayvon and stuff, whereas, like, and when, you know, Barack was still in office. Barack was still in office. It's, like, back in, like, 2000, you know, 13, 14, 15, it's, like, why are all these, like, black people getting into, like, why are all these black people being killed or being harmed by the police? And unfortunately, I was also kind of, as a lot of people were as well, misled. This is where you can say, like, there's a conspiracy of a sort, misled by news media, potentially journalistic malpractice, that was sort of selling an agenda of, yes, it's just always an unarmed black guy getting accosted by a police, or even, you know, a vigilante in the case of, like, you know, George Zimmerman, and they did nothing wrong, and they're just like, well, okay, that's, again, is that the truth, or is that just like a self-flattering narrative? So we feel these things because it can feel very isolating to be a black American. Now, like, do I think black Americans don't want to do that? I don't, actually. I think, again, going back to, you know, the chosen people, you know, going back to the tribe, going back to the Jews or the Jewish people, going back to certain Asians, and this is I'll get to Asians, Native Americans, I'll get to Native Americans, Asians, because they're both related in this one I'm about to hit on. It's important to remember they're not a monolith either, especially they're not a monolith, but Jewish people will relate to each other and relate to public figures who are Jewish, or, you know, to stories about Jewish people. But it's like, what is a common news story that you would hear about a Jewish person? I mean, besides those tunnels, a common story you'd hear about a Jewish person in the media is like, hey, this producer had another successful project. Like, honestly, and it's a joke, but, like, it's real. Or hey, this rabbi is trying to do something positive and bring people together. He's trying to be like a Jesse Jackson type figure, you know, Rainbow Coalition, or they're doing something for the state of Israel, or they're, you know, talking against the state of Israel, or whatever, you know, because there are Jewish critics of Israel. That's fine. Like, it's fine to be a critic of Israel. It's not quite as fine to say that Israel shouldn't exist. There's a difference there. But anyway, like, the story of a black person in society is like, this person feels like they don't belong. They themselves feel that way, but the broader society kind of feels that they don't belong too, or it can seem that way. And maybe they're also, like, just the perpetual victim, and they're maligned. And so when that's the narrative, then that's, I think, what we all kind of feed into and feed on. It's like, we all feel outsiders, we all feel maligned, and then we see a story of our, you know, someone who looks like us getting victimized, quote unquote, and we relate to it on those levels. But if that was the case with, you know, Latinos to a greater extent, and sometimes is the case with them, but not as much, and that was like one of the primary narratives that you saw in culture, as opposed to, let's say, like pop culture figures who happen to be Latino or Hispanic who are cool. We have plenty of Black people who are cool too. It's like, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's always seemed like there's been other narratives around Latinos besides like the perpetual victim. And there's also like, again, the Hispanic aspect where it's like, ooh, here's this like suave, debonair, you know, Don Juan, and this is all this other stuff where it's just like the Black guy is either like the bad guy or the victim. Like that's basically been it. And then to the latter half of the 20th century and through like a lot of the 21st century, there's also been like the cool guy, you know, Will Smith in particular, among others. But like for a long time, it's like he's a bad guy, he's a victim. That's what it means to be Black in America. He's a bad guy, he's a victim. So I think that's what it is. But then you go to like Asians who, if you talk to Asians, especially like, you know, first generation, you know, people who've come from another country, they'll talk to you like, I'm not Asian, I'm thy country. Like, I'm Chinese. I'm not Asian. I'm Chinese. sorry for the city accent. I'm not. You know, I'm not Chinese. I'm Japanese. I'm Korean. You know, like, yeah. You know, and they'll be very firm on that. It's like, I'm not Asian. You know, I don't identify with a continent. Like Black people, like, I'm African. Well, what does that mean? Are you from Kenya? From Nigeria? Like it's like it's a continent. It's not a country. They'll say, no, I'm from this country. So like, there's that with Asians, and then with Native Americans, like, you know, I'm not like. Like I'm Native American and like I identify with that as a sort of a race and sort of like a broader diaspora, but like I'm from this tribe, you know, like I'm a Blackfoot, you know, I'm yeah. Lakota, I'm like this, I'm like that. And so with them it's harder because similar to Black people, their culture has been kind of erased over time. It's like they've kind of been forced to homogenize and just like we're just Native American, we're just Indian, which is what we are. But if you talk to the people who like know their history, they'll say like, no man, I'm like, you know, I'm Irish, I'm German, I'm Lakota, I'm this, I'm that. I'm not just like this, like I'm not European, right? Like white people, like people will say sometimes, oh, I'm white, but they won't say I'm European. They'll say yeah. I'm white, or they'll say like I'm Irish, I'm German, I'm French. Like they'll say that. And it's like that's what it is to be like somewhat in tune with your culture and to identify. And so like if you talk to especially a French person, whether it's like a French American, French Canadian, that's a whole other thing. French Canadians, blah blah blah, well, that's a whole other thing. But like you know, talk to a French person and sort of like the broader like French culture as it relates to Europe and to the Americas, they'll talk about it in terms that are much more concrete and specific than just like, I'm a white guy or I'm a European guy. And I think yeah. that's also the problem with Africans, with Black people is like, we don't have that. You have first generation, like Africans from Africa who are like, I'm Nigerian, you know, but yeah, you don't yeah. have like Black people who descended from slaves talking about like, I'm Nigerian, because they don't know. A lot of us don't know where we're from. Like Shannon Sharp just did a DNA test. He's like, oh, I'm 90% Nigerian. Look at that. It's like, he didn't know. So
that's yeah. crazy. Yeah. I actually talked to a real African like a week ago, and he wanted to know, he was doing like a quote unquote study. He's mm-hmm. like, what is your African name? What is it? And that's what he was asking all of the Black people. He did not me, but I talked to him for over a half hour, and he was like, what is your African name? He said, people in America, like Asians, still have Asian names, Japanese names or whatever like that. He's like,
That's big in China.
How come you don't have African name? You don't know
it. Or so Chinese culture, I should say, but yeah.
And his whole like thesis was that African Americans are lost because they're not in touch with their culture. They don't know which country they're from. They don't know yeah. their African name. And yeah. his other big thing was, he hates that African Americans are so offended by the N-word. He thinks that's complete bullshit. He said, if you go to Africa right now, he said, you white man, you call me N-word in Africa? It's nothing. No problem. It's just like calling you white or the table red. He said, it's descriptive. He said, why are you so offended by this, Black people?
It's descriptive.
That's what he said. He said, why are you so offended?
I think that's also more maybe, that's definitely the international thing. And I've heard that in like Spanish countries. It's like, you know, negro, like, you know, it's descriptive, you know, it's a color. It's yeah, like, okay. Yeah, yeah. But this also, you know, this other contextual things, you know, this in the same way that like because there's a word in Chinese that sounds like the N-word, but it's not. You know, niga, niga. It's like it's the equivalent of saying or what in Chinese, but it sounds like niga. And so it's like that's a word. And it's like bringing it back, I was going to say whilst you were talking, this is me like thinking, I wasn't, I'll admit it, I kind of zoned out. I was like waiting for my chance to speak, but I was thinking on this. We said like we're so offended. The reality is, sorry, pointing. Like, why am I pointing at those subjects? But like, we're so offended. Like, the reality is, we're not. Like, that's the thing. It's kind of performative. Like, not kind of. It is. It's performative. Like, not always, but like, there's a performative nature to it where it's like,
oh shit, Quinn, do we have to cut this? Oh no, he's giving us. Yo, he's giving us
of all the things I've said. This is what's gonna get cut. Oh my god, Israel Palestine, cool, but the truth about the N word. Oh no,
no, this is top. We cannot let white people know this. That's what I'm saying, Quinn. This could be dangerous. Damn it. These white people, they're sociopaths. They don't give a shit.
They already know. They already know. That's the other thing. It's just like, here's the two. There's more than two. But like, here's an example of like two weirdos, like two sort of weird archetypes. Two weirdos about the N-word. Weirdo number one, typically a black person, but sometimes also not non-black person. Weirdo number one is someone who thinks that the word is magic and in a bad way. And that just saying it will unleash horrors, and that any black person within earshot will no longer be responsible for their actions because they heard the word, and they heard it out of, crucially, they heard it out of the mouth of someone who wasn't black, right? If I say it, that's one thing. Oh, I have an accent. We all have accents, but I have an accent that doesn't always convey my color, quote unquote. I don't sound black, whatever that means. That means it's like, you know, side note, it sounds like to be black, or really to be a certain subset of the black community in America, is to sound like an urban southerner. That's what they mean. It's like,
all right, you describe it, bro. Whenever I go on Xbox, it's N-word. Shut up.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
bro,
yeah.
I look like a Backstreet Boy, but I'm from Southern Louisiana, yes, right? And yes. So it's like, it's funny. So you hit it on the head.
You could pass on the mic. And there's plenty of white people who do have an accent that quote they sound black. I've seen Asian people who, you know, sound black. But again, it's really just an accent that sounds like you are, because that's quote unquote what we call black culture. It's just like a subset of the black culture that came from the South, because that's where we came from. A lot of us who came up from the South, and then we went into urban centers like Detroit and Harlem and whatever. But we carried some of that culture with us, and so we have a urbanized southern accent. That's what it means to sound black or whatever. But anyway, so but to hear and see a non-black person saying the N-word, oh no, it's magic, and now like all hell's breaking loose, you know, you've cast the spell. That's one weirdo with the N-word. The other weirdo is the white person who wants to say it so badly because of the first group, basically. It's like, you know, all the white ladies saying you can't say the N-word, all the black guys saying you can't say the N-word. You know, we can say it, you can't say it. And then this guy said, I want to say it, I want to say it so bad. It's like, you're both weird and cringe. It's like, he can say it, but he shouldn't because it's stupid. I shouldn't say it either. Like, I my philosophy on the N-word is like, I'll say it, and I don't think it's magic. I'll say it, you know. I'm worried about saying it with you because I'm not sure if you want me to say it, because like then you're gonna have to like, that's the one thing you're gonna have to censor here.
No,
but it's like,
no, say it. I don't give a shit.
Okay, nigga. Now I sound Chinese.
You do sound Chinese.
Yeah, exactly. But like, literally, I don't care about that word. There are so many more important things in the world. Again, like Israel Palestine, like the history of Germany, like the history of the American South. There's so many more important things to be concerned with than like a word, like a word that's not magic. And it's like, we should get to a point with it where we either feel about the way that, like, we should either feel about it the way we feel about certain slurs, quote unquote, that we've largely just kind of stopped caring about as much. Like, we should either feel about like the way we feel about cunt in the UK, where it's just like, it's a, or, you know, like in Australia, it's like, it's just a thing you say. It's a little vulgar, but it's fine. Or, because that's kind of where we are with the black community, or like within the black community, because we use it in rap songs, we use it very liberally amongst ourselves. Or we just get to it where, you know, again, the chosen people feel about the K word, where it's just like, you don't say it. It's not cool if you say it. It's bad. But it's like, it would be bad if Jerry Seinfeld said it, or it'd be bad if I said it. Like, okay, but we got to pick one. We can't just have this like weird thing where it's like Jerry can say the K word, but I can't say it. That doesn't make any sense. That's what the weirdo white guys are like. He can say, but I can't. It's not fair. It's like, yeah, that's kind of stupid. Like,
the weirdo white guys are doing it because black people are so fucking cool. Specifically, the poor Southern black people who tend to like control culture, right? They make the rap music and stuff like that. They can dance. Oh my gosh, they got cornrows. Does he have a face tattoo? And like your little Johnny sitting in the suburbs in Springfield, Illinois, and like you're fucking lame. Your whole culture is milk toast. It fucking sucks. And so like you see all of this, and like the coolest kid at your all-white school, the coolest kid is like dancing like a black person and he's rapping and stuff.
Yep.
So it's like, well, fuck that. Yep. So that's why. If you don't want little nerdy white kids saying the N-word, stop being so fucking cool, bro.
What's that meme? Your drip too fine, your lady's too bad, something like that. We can't help it. The ascension of the cool black guy was, again, I think it started basically technically it probably started in like the 20th century with like black flirtation and a little before that, but like
Jimi Hendrix.
That true? Yeah, for it's definitely the 20th century. They're definitely in the 20th century. Either way, definitely in the 20th century, definitely in the last century, you know, back before either of us were born, cool black guys were ascendant, you know, Muhammad Ali, among others.
Yes.
And so, like, suddenly when black people, especially black males, were cool, then the idea of, like, again, the stereotype, oh, he's a bad guy, he was a victim. Okay, maybe he's something else. And then, but he's also still like really countercultural because it's not cool to be black. Because again, like when Muhammad Ali was black, it's like, man, we got to get this guy out of boxing. We got to get a Great White Hope in there. We got to get this. It's like, it's not cool, but it's cool because it's not cool. It's like, it's cool because it's countercultural. Now it's just cool because it's cool. It's like, it's just in, it's just fashion, whatever, and like trend setting. But it's complicated for sure. I would hope. Realistically, I think we're going to trend to the point where nigga is going to be like cunt, and we're just going to say it. Like, there's still people who are like, especially in America, who are like really sensitive about the C word too. So like, it's always going to be a little bit of, in America, we have so many things with language, so many things. Like, again, I've used this word pretty liberally, you know, in this podcast, but I'll continue to. But like, there are people who have an issue with the R word, you know, and then like there's the F word versus the F word. Retard. Retard, oh, retarded. Okay. Yeah. You can't say that. The retards, you know, literally speaking, have reclaimed that word. We've reclaimed it. We can say it again. You know, the internet retards, quote unquote. I'm autistic, so I think I have a little bit of a pass. That's my R pass, as I'm autistic. Yeah. But like there's a time, especially like back in the 2010s, where it's like, you can't say that. That's a slur. You can't say that. The F slur. I mean, pretty much people still don't use that, and that's fine. Like we can let that one die. It's like, it's fine. You know, the word that's what's a bundle of sticks. No, the F word is fuck. The F slur is faggot. And that's like a bundle of sticks or, you know, a cigarette in the UK.
Yeah, a cigarette. I'll smoke a fag.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like all these things. It's like all these things that Americans in particular, like that's something I don't think internationally we actually get enough shit for, is being weirdo language police. Because in Europe, especially going back to, you know, like cunt and faggot and all this other stuff, they just like let all this stuff fly. And I mean, it's not like I said, it's not like the kind of thing they say on the news, like on the BBC or with the Queen, but they say this stuff casually to each other, like, and like on TV and maybe even on the radio to some extent. Like, they say this stuff, whereas we, like, oh, we're clutching our pearls. Oh my God, he said all the R word, he said the F slur, he said this, he said that. It's like, I would actually love, going back to my writing, if I was going to write a piece, I got an idea for my Substack now. Like,
let's do it.
Americans as, like, forget, you know, Team America World Police, Team America Language Police, Americans as, like, the language police of the world. Like, we're the most uptight, lame, retarded about language because we have all these words that we feel like we can't say. Or only certain people can say it. Other countries are just like, nigga, 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 nigga.
That's hilarious. And you know what, you're right. It does seem to be somewhat of a new phenomenon, right? So I went to school with an 85% black people, 10% white, and 5% other, right? And so
Nikki Haley.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Nikki Haley is? What?
Dude, I do not vote. I don't follow politics. I don't follow news. None of this.
You're pretty political throughout all this podcast. You don't vote. You follow politics. What the hell?
No, bro. Okay. I'm listening to you. I'm just listening.
She's,
you are
educating. She's an Indian American politician who famously, within like the last 6 months, said that she couldn't get into a beauty contest. She was like pretty hot back in her day. She's all right now.
Would you fuck her?
She's a little old too. a joke. Back when my dad was alive, a joke that me and my dad had. He started this, and I was kind of I cringed at it, but I've become more sympathetic to it since I've gotten older. Is like, oh, you know, he would say that we date the same age. Like if a girl is too old for me, it's too old for him. It's so it's like she's too old for us. Even though he's like, you know, 20, like 30 years older than me. But
bro, you don't like cougars? Are you serious? Like they'll suck the skin off of you.
Okay. So it depends, but it's like it's like if a woman is like really. If a woman of a certain age is attractive to me, the age is not what's attractive. It's just like a generic, you know, thing about her as well as just her looks. And it's just like, you wouldn't know. It's like, you know, Kate, although she's unfortunately, I think for nerve reasons, it's starting to show on her. Maybe it's like a, you know, bad makeup or whatever, but like Kate Beckinsale back and especially like 5-10 years ago, but like for the last, I would say 20 years, like for most of her life, Kate Beckinsale has just been like super hot. And obviously she's like at least 20, 15 years older than me. She's already had a kid. But like, you know, Kate Beckinsale, Liz Hurley, there's a number of like attractive, oddly, it's always like British women. This play of you know, American women too, like Angela Bassett, like there's some, but it's just like, they're just like generically just beautiful, like awesome women. It's not just like, oh, I'm attracted to you because you're older. It's like, I'm attracted to you because you're attractive and you just happen to be older. But anyway, yeah, Nikki Haley just famously said like she had to check other on her like documents for whatever in school and in like trying to get into a beauty contest. She couldn't get in because it was just like, it's black or white and there's no other category. It's like, she's the other because she's Indian. But anyway, sorry.
That is so weird. I guess the question is, where did... Because this like speech police or whatever, it does seem like an emerging phenomenon, right? It's kind of like, you know, maybe this didn't exist 15 years ago. And
21st century. It started in the 21st century for sure. It was bubbling up last century, but it didn't really start properly until probably like the late 2000s, I want to say.
But why, like what, there wasn't a big moment like that. Oh, this, you know, there wasn't an aha moment. Like what purpose is this serving? Because kind of, it sounds like your thesis is, it's like, hey, these people are not really offended, but they're using this word to
most
to
of
like, exactly. They're using this word to like wield power or something over you. Like what is the motivation for this behavior?
Well, you just said it, you know, these power is a great motivator, man. Power motivated Hitler, power motivated, most politicians, power motivated, most, like ascendant cultural figures, power motivates some influencers to a certain extent. Like power motivates Hassan, power motivates, I mean, it probably doesn't motivate Asmund Gold because I think like he's like openly said, again, I'm not trying to put him out there as like, you know, the guy, but he's openly said, like, I try not to like squeeze my followers for money. I don't run ads to the extent of my channel that I could, blah, blah, blah. So like some people are less motivated by, you know, stuff like that. But power is a great motivator. So if you can use language and offense and victim status to your benefit, why wouldn't you? And I think also there's one of the theories, there's a lot of, you know, competing theories or competing hypotheses around this, is like our generation, you know, millennials and younger, millennials, zoomers, et cetera, people who are, you know, in their 30s, 20s, et cetera, we don't have that great war, literally or metaphorically. We don't have that great conflict. We don't have that great struggle that previous generations had. Like even Gen X, to some extent, had greater struggles than we have had in some regards. And so the myth that we build around ourselves is the myth that we are struggling more than we are, and that is bolstered by the idea that like we have to deal with microaggressions and racism. You know, it's just as bad as it for me as it was for my grandfather. It wasn't at all. not even close. But like, we have to tell ourselves that, you know, or we haven't really progressed, because then I can feel, quote unquote, like people, someone who looks like me can feel like they are struggling and a great, you know, hero of their own story in the same way as their forefathers. When in reality, it's like, it's Cap, like you're doing okay. It's like, I tell people, economically, we're probably doing worse, and you've probably heard stories to that effect, but even that's a little overblown, because I've talked to other people about that and they're like, well, it's also like we're relatively young. There's going to be a huge wealth transfer when our parents die. It's like millennials are a lot of the money that boomers have right now is going to end up in millennials' hands. A lot of the power, you know, they're going to have to die at some point. Like, we don't have the infinite immortality technology just yet. Eventually, Biden's going to die. Eventually, you know, like all these politicians, et cetera, they're going to die. They're going to pass their money on. They're going to pass their houses on. There's going to be a millennial president. It's going to happen, whether you like it or not. So it's just a matter of time. But like, for right now, I can sometimes feel like, oh, you know, I'm never going to own a house. I'm never going to have, you know, I'm never going to see someone who looks like me elected into public office. Just wait. Just wait. It's going to just take time. It's going to happen. Just got to wait. But that's basically what it is. It's like we use language policing as a way of getting power and as a way of self-aggrandizement. For my part, I just try to, again, just try to treat people as people and just try to be cool. There was a time in my life where I was a lot more cringy political in the other way of even saying, like, you know, don't say that. That's a slur. I did. Yeah. I literally said that people in conversation is like, bro, like, shut the fuck up. and they were right. even if I was right on the merits, like, don't say, you know, faggot, because it's like kind of fucked up. Don't say like gay to mean lame. It's kind of fucked up. And it is. At the same time, it's like when you're the guy who says that at a party, it's like, okay, shut the fuck up. Bag it. It's lame. So I get it. I can see both sides. I can see both sides. That's the other thing. It's like, that's another meme, like, you know, both sides, but oftentimes there's like two sides to a different thing. It's like, it's stupid and lame to use homophobic language to mean things that are stupid and lame, to just like degradate people in general. You don't mean being gay is lame. You don't, quote unquote, have hate. It's heritage, it's not hate, brother. You know, you don't mean it's hate, but it sounds that way to like the outside observer. Versus, it's also kind of lame to always be the buzzkill at a party trying to language police everybody and say like, you shouldn't say that. It's like, have a conversation. Like, go back and forth with them. If this really bothers you and you think you can help, like, just listen to them and you listen to them and they listen to you and maybe you'll get somewhere with it. But like, a lot more can be achieved by listening and learning versus just like talking at people. So,
yeah. Of course. Yeah. And that's always true. I've always viewed it as like they use, a lot of people use those slurs in the same way. Like, they're just trying to hurt you. Right. And by letting it be known that, hey, this slur is an easy way to piss me off, it's almost like it's like you have a new vulnerability.
Sure.
So like, for example, growing up, like, I got made fun of because I'm white. People didn't want to pick me on the basketball. Oh, I don't want a white boy on my basketball team. Like, I had girls who'd be like, I don't want to date no boy with a small white dick, this type of shit. But to me, it never felt like these people had anything against me because I was white. They just wanted to make fun of me, just period, point blank. Like, those same people would make fun of me because I had a pimple. Those same people would make fun of me if I was fat, this type of stuff. It just, to me, whenever I got made fun of for this type of shit, it just always felt like it's the same thing as saying, like, hey, shut up, four eyes, or something like that. It just always
don't advertise your abilities.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. It never really, like, I never had someone who I've really felt like hated someone because of the color of their skin or because they were Jewish or something like that.
I definitely have. I definitely think it's real. I'm not going to say like we've evolved past it.
It's definitely real, but just in my life.
No, yeah, sure, like, sure. What I would say to that is, I think you're more right than you're wrong. But what I would say, and ironically, this is where, you know, having a melanated shield can be useful, because I can say these things and people don't think that I'm just a cringe, angry, you know, white gamer. It's like, there is anti-white racism. It does exist. It's actually like, I mean, I'm not even going to mention her name because she's like not a great spokesperson for her cause in this regard. But there's a certain political commentator who has said, like, just change the headline or change the statement, like, you know, white people shut up, change that to any other ethnicity. It's like a fucked up thing you shouldn't say. It's like, if it's a fucked up for you to say, like, don't, you shouldn't have a headline that says black people should shut up, Asian people should shut up, like, et cetera, et cetera. You shouldn't have a thing that says white people should shut up. You shouldn't have this thing of like, oh, like it's super cool that we're going to change the race of Isaac Newton in this TV show, or we're going to, this meme of like ginger erasure, like it's so weird that it's even like so specific. But this if you can Google this, and this again, it sounds like a weird conspiracy, but just like Google like ginger erasure, or like why are so many gingers becoming black people in adaptations or popular media? It's like you look at, as far as I say, this hasn't already happened with Archie, but it's happened with Annie, it's happened with Jimmy Olsen, it's happened with like a number of gingers. When they get adapted, like from comics or from books or from cartoons into live action, they become black. Like, not just they become a different race or they become a different gender, they become black. April O'Neil. It's like, why is it always gingers? It's so fucking weird. But more broadly, like, there are people who would say, hey, man, it's not hate. It's just like just how I feel, or you know, it's just busting balls. But in reality, it's kind of a mixture. When you have black people or other non-white people who will say things like kind of shitting on white people, like it's because they can. And I would say it's bad in the same way as like a culture of misogyny is bad, or a culture of misandry is bad. It's like, it's not cool to shit on women just because they're women. It's not cool to shit on men just because they're men. And having a culture that normalizes discrimination or shitty behavior toward a particular group, for example, gay people, is not great. And we should try to move past that, because at a certain point, what you're going to see, and we've already seen this with like, again, the chosen people, the Jewish people, like when you normalize shitting on white people too much, eventually people move on to other groups that are white adjacent, and you get like Asian hate because they're white adjacent, or Jewish hate because they're white adjacent. And then it's just like, oh, wait, this is actually really fucked up when you stop making it white or European. And you say like, hey, I hate the Zionists, or I hate the Jews, or I hate the Asians. It's like, yeah, it was always fucked up. You just didn't appreciate it because it was the appropriate group. It was an acceptable target. So I usually just say, like, don't say those fucked up things. Try not to, you know, just think about it for a few more minutes and realize, like, it's fucked up regardless of who it is. And, like, also, crucially, and this is, like, it's a thing people say, but it's actually true. Race is a construct, social construct. It's not real. Like, we're all human beings. We're all the same species. Melanin is literally just, it's more equivalent to hair color or eye color in terms of its genetic impact on our bodies and our lives. I mean, it's a little more important because it means that I don't sunburn as easily as you do, but it's like really not a big deal versus like gender is more real, but it's also kind of mutable. But like the main thing is stop making people into their identity characteristics, make them into like people, like literally Martin Luther King. It's cliche, but treat people as people, treat people on their character, not the color of their skin or any other nonsense. Cause we're only on this planet. Again, we're not going to live forever. Like I was saying before, we're not going to live forever. We're only on this planet for like 100 years or less. We got to make it count. I personally am of the belief that like, this is it. Like I'm sort of atheist agnostic, but I think that this world is really important. We should try to make this life like good for ourselves and for others. And if you're spending even a few years collectively, like being shitty on someone because of what they look like, it's a waste of time. Just do something else. So.
Quinn, did we just say like, hey man, we need to stop policing speech. And then we just spent 10 minutes policing speech with a little bit more nuance.
So I'm never going to tell someone they can't be racist. I'm never going to tell someone they can't be racist. I'm never going to tell someone they can't have a fucked up agenda or fucked up politics. I'm going to try to have a conversation with them if I feel it's productive. Oftentimes it's not. I tell people all the time, I don't debate on the internet. Debates on the internet are cringe. But if I can have a dialogue, if I can have a conversation with somebody, I'll say like, hey man, have you like ever stopped and just thought about like, how you talk about white people or how you talk about men or how you talk about women. It's kind of fucked up. Have you thought about it? Like, just really, have you thought about it? I just ask them questions and then see if that goes anywhere. I'm not going to tell someone they can't say something. I'm just going to ask them, have you thought about what you say? And how it sounds.
Even that is like people, it's essentially like a synonym for like, hey bro, why are you saying that, man? Like the cringe guy or whatever. Now, just to be clear, the people who would say not pick me on the basketball team because I'm white, or the girls who would be like, oh, fuck you, shrimp dick. It wasn't because they didn't like the color of my skin. It's because they were 15 and assholes. And I was a 15-year-old asshole too.
Teenagers are weird. Teenagers are weird as fuck. I've learned the hard way just like talking to, sorry to cut you off, but talking to young people and like looking at young media. It's like, I had no idea. I was homeschooled, so I didn't always like even have a connection to like my peers at that age. But it's like, teenagers are so fucking weird. And they're also like, they're so weird, but they're also like so lacking in self-awareness, but also so kind of socially empowered to just like act out. And it's like, oh my fucking God, like you're not an adult yet, but you're close and you act like it. And yet you don't know even half of what you think you do. You think you know everything, but you don't know like shit. It's like, oh my fucking God. And you're going to look back on everything you said and did, and you're going to cringe so hard, not just because it's lame, but just because like you just knew so little and you thought this mattered and it didn't. It's like, oh my God. So yeah, you're right. You're right. Again, it's probably not hate. It's probably them just being like young and stupid. But there are adults who act the same way. And it's just like, okay, at a certain point, we can't keep apologizing for this when you're saying like, hey, so I just don't hang out with white people because I just think they're lame. How old are you? What time is it? What day is it?
and it always seems to be the people that are like very out of touch. Like, it's like it seems like whenever I meet people who actually have hung out with different groups, hey, atheists, Christians, black, white, Jew, all of this, they're always just like, hey, like, yeah, just come at me where you are. You know, hey, you're just a person. I'm just a person. It seems like that is whenever people are just like, I can't talk to you, white devil. It's just like, there's something going on there. I don't judge them. But
the people who never met an atheist will have the strongest, most cringe opinions of an atheist. The richest people, theists who never hang out with atheists will have the most strong and cringe opinions about atheists.
Bullseye.
People who never hang out with white people have the most strong cringe opinions about white people. People who never hang out with black people, so on and so on. It's just like, just hang out with somebody. Hang out with a gay person, hang out with a white person, hang out with a religious person, hang out with an atheist, hang out with a whatever. You'll start to realize, and hang out with more than one, by the way, because that's tokenism, you know, hang out with one. But like, hang out with a bunch and just like realize, you know, it's they're people. We're all just kind of people. Like, it sounds all hippy-dippy, but it's the truth. We're all people. So like, you know, just chill. Like, that's really what it is. Like, they just don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say even if like you hate me because I'm white, I hate you because you're black. It's like, we're so similar, right? We wake up, we brush our teeth, we hate stepping on Legos. We probably like puppy dogs.
You have kids?
No, I do not have kids, but I do have dogs and I hate stepping on dog bones. Okay. You know, we probably like eating burgers. You know, we probably would eat rather a pizza than a taco. Like, we're all the same, man. But let me ask you this. Would you go to a party if Diddy invited you?
Well, as Kat said, when Diddy wants to party, you got to tell him no, even if it's $50 million on the line. So I guess I'll have to go with Kat and just say no. I'll be honest with you, though. Like, the funny thing about all that is, it's not funny. It's actually, you know, very dark and sordid. But like, I've never even been close to any situation where I've had to like really test my morals or test my personal, you know, boundaries in that regard. I've never even come close. And the thing I often say, going back to sort of the humility and like the have, you know, sympathy for other people, is like, don't judge people too harshly for making moral compromises that you've never even had to think about. So it's like, I don't know what it was like for Usher or Bieber or whoever in that situation. I don't know, right? I'm not judging, but probably not. Based on what I've seen, probably wouldn't hang out with R. Kelly either. Wouldn't hang out with, wouldn't hang out with Woody, for that matter. Wouldn't hang out with Woody. Wouldn't hang out with a lot of people if I could help it. Now, if I didn't know, right, I don't know what I don't know. Like, I could be Tarantino, Like, I could be writing the next great screenplay and directing the next great movie and hang out with some fucked up guys who happen to be producers. And then I find out, like, 10 years later, one of these guys, you know, well, it was touching Terry Crews. Like, all right, I didn't know, man. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. If I know, if I have any idea, I'm going to try to avoid it. I'm going to try to, you know, keep my principles and, you know, all of my, you know, virgin extremities and whatnot.
Yeah. I think I would go because I'm fucking stupid, but I think I would go, but I would bring like two friends and I'd be like, listen, you know, Zach and Brian or whatever you guys' names are. Like, you do not leave me. Okay. Do not leave me. And you have permission to physically punch me if, like, this guy is like trying to give me $50 million to suck his dick or something. Like, just fucking punch me, dude. Just do it.
All right.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yo, Quint, I think that is all I have. Unfortunately, I'm out of time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't want to take too much of your time either.
No, I'm sorry. And here, the real reason I'm out of time is because the video editor program that I use can only render up to 2 hours of video, and all we're right at 147 because I'm a broke bitch. But Quinn, tell people where they could find you and your awesome work. I'm so sorry we didn't get to talk more about your writing and whatnot.
No worries.
But I think honestly, you've done more so by just like intelligently talking about all
you
the random shit I've thrown at you. Any random shit. By the way, people who's listening, this shit's not easy, right? I come like
not
out
scripted
of left field. Not yeah. No, not scripted. We don't know what we're talking about.
Not scripted at all.
I think that this is more of an endorsement for you as
thank
a thinker
you
and a writer
thank
and
you
anything you do, including your Substack. So please tell people where they can find
yes
you.
Yes. Okay. So I am also known, I'm Quinn Q, also known as Edo Quinn, E-D-O-K-W-I-N. You can Google that. I'm primarily on Twitter, also known as X. And that's like my main hub where I just, you know, talk and share like links to my long form content, my writing. This month in April, I'm doing a whole script in 1 month, and I'm cataloging it, you know, over the course of each day. I'm actually a little behind on my goal. I'm supposed to do 8 pages yesterday. I only did 3. So I'm going to have to make that up today and then going forward, but that's going to be fun. And probably when it's done, I'll publish that somewhere. I am trying to get more happening in the writing world in general, and I look forward to I want engagement. I'm not just trying to get like random followers, just people to click on my profile. I want you to actually engage. I want you to talk to me. I talk back. I you know, at me. I'm not scared. That's the one thing I will say. Like, people are like, don't at me, leave me alone. Like, I it's like that scene from, I know that I'm already rambling, so I'll make this quick, but it's like a scene from Jack Reacher, the movie on the TV show. Remember, you wanted this. I wanted this. I asked for this. I've made the bargain. The Faustian bargain that I've made is that I would like to be famous, if only because I know that it'll facilitate my writing. So I would like to get more people to engage with me, and hopefully I can give something to you by way of my, you know, intellectual pursuits. So follow me on Twitter. Check me out on Substack. And yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. See ya.